Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Have to report the passing of a very important man in the automotive world, although many of you will not have ever heard his name before, except for the guys who are in the small circle of friends I have who admire the winged cars, the Dodge Daytona and the Plymouth Superbird. I wrote a book about those cars, and along the way, I've done a ton of research on them. I've interviewed all kinds of people. I interviewed Richard Petty, who raced in a 1970 Superbird back in the day. And, of course, I wrote a book about Bobby Isaac as well. And along the way, I interviewed a guy named Gary Romberg. And Gary Romberg passed away just a couple days ago. And someone sent me a note today, Steve, Mr. Romberg passed away. And I had the pleasure of meeting him just a few years ago at a winged car event in Alabama. He sat down and let me interview him on camera for a documentary that I'm hoping to get done one of these days, along with my good friend Jonathan Silvers and a few other people. But first, let me read you the obituary for Gary Frederick Romberg, and then we'll talk a little bit about his contribution to automotive history. But Gary Old Man Romberg, and that was a name that he liked using, and this I'm just going to read to you verbatim. Gary's one-of-a-kind spirit left his earthly body on January 15th and joined his family and friends that went before him. Gary was born in February of 1935. Gary was proud of his Swedish heritage and loved to be called the old man. And I, as you know, I'm Finnish, of Finnish descent. And so I remember joking with him about that, even because the Swedes and the Finns don't always get along, but he and I did. His grandfather had been the old man and he inherited the title. Gary met his wife Bonnie at the age of 7, and she was 3 the first time they encountered each other. They were married on October 5th, 1957, and were married for 62 years. 62 years. She was by his side and supported him in his many endeavors. While Gary had an illustrious career and traveled worldwide, what he enjoyed most was the time with his kids, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and extended family. Kids enjoyed hearing his stories because they knew, never let the truth get in the way of a good story. He handed down those words of wisdom to his children and grandchildren. And here's the thing. Some people you meet who tell great stories, but some people you meet who tell great stories because they did great things, and Gary Romberg was one of them. Gary worked at NASA in the middle and late 1960s and was involved in putting the first man on the moon. His involvement included aerodynamic development of the Saturn B1 booster, which propelled the astronauts from the launch pad into outer space. A lot of people don't understand that the nose cone and the wing on these cars, it wasn't just window dressing, and it wasn't put there by goofy people who didn't know what they were doing. It was put there by aerodynamicists, many of whom had worked in the rockets department at Chrysler's missile division or at NASA, who then came over to work when they heard what Chrysler was doing with cars. Or some of them, as the NASA program was winding down, went to work in the automotive department. So that's where Gary came from. Gary also had a career with Chrysler for 40 years. Near the end of his career, he was the lead engineer that brought a wind tunnel to Chrysler. And again, understanding the history of cars, people understood aerodynamics to a small extent, like up until Second World War, but they didn't quite study it the way they needed to, especially not with wind tunnels, until these cars came along. And when Chrysler did wind tunnel testing on these cars, they had to do it at other places like Lockheed or at universities that we had wind tunnels. Gary was instrumental in saying, guys, you need to bring your own wind tunnel in and build it here at Chrysler so we can do this testing in-house. Gary couldn't sit still in retirement, has been working at Aerodyne in Mooresville since 2006, also is an energetic member of the American Powerboat Association for 45 years. This guy clearly liked fast things, okay? He's a good guy. Gary was an active member of the Central Presbyterian Church, serving in various capacities, including the session. Gary enjoyed fishing, but rarely caught much. Gary is survived by his loving wife, Bonnie, his children, Val of Pennsylvania, Kurt of Charlotte, Leif of Virginia, and Heidi of Virginia. He is the beloved old man of 12 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren. A celebration of life will be held Saturday, January 18th, visitation at 2 o'clock, services at 3 at the Center Presbyterian Church in Mooresville, North Carolina. In lieu of flowers, a donation may be made to the Center Presbyterian Church Landscaping Fund. And so that's the obituary of Gary Romberg. But I can tell you right now, for those of you who don't know and some of you who do, that the Dodge Daytona came out in late 1969 to be raced in NASCAR, and basically what they did is they had a Dodge Charger that wasn't doing very well in 1968, and they tried fixing it with some patches that didn't quite work with respect to the aerodynamics, and a guy named John Pointer came along and said, why don't you put a nose cone and a wing on it, and it'll make it go fast and hold it to the ground and solve all your problems. And John Pointer had also been working at Chrysler's missile division, and so that was his idea, and they tested it in a wind tunnel. They're doing all this work. It's right around that time that Romberg joined the team there. And so they had to make the cars and sell them to the public to make them legal for NASCAR as stock cars. And so this is the street version. Mine's dusty, but, you know, it's 1969. What do you expect? But, again, the wing here, the nose cone here, there are some air exhausters over the fenders that were designed to take dirty air out from underneath the engine compartment. There were also chrome A-pillars, which are not actually illustrated here properly, but you'll see them on Bobby's car. But the Charger Daytona was the Dodge version in 1969. The Plymouth Superbird was a 1970 version that Richard Petty and those guys raced. And so it was an amazing feat of engineering. The rocket scientists got a hold of the designers and said, here's what you need to do to make these cars go fast. You worry about selling them later. We're going to make them go fast first, sell them later. And one of the most interesting things is that this is all happening in broad daylight. No one was pretending that this car was being built this way to sell them to the public just because Dodge wanted to sell these cars to the public. They were losing money in these cars, but they were losing money when they sold them individually to the people. But they knew it was getting them tons of publicity. So one of the funniest things of all was that the SAE, the Society of Automotive Engineers, holds conferences, and they would invite papers from their members to talk about advancements in the fields that they were practicing in. And Gary Romberg and a guy named Bob Marcel, the two of them were both working with this program, and they were new additions to the program. And John Pointer and those guys said, sure, you guys want to write a paper about what we're doing, go right ahead. And they actually wrote an SAE paper, and I've got a copy of it. I'll put pictures up on the screen. And they wrote this paper, and they delivered the paper, actually stood in front of an audience and presented the paper at the SAE convention at Cobo Hall in Detroit right around this time, and parked out in front of the hall during their session. They brought a couple of these cars and parked them there. And it was a fascinating concept. Because while these cars were racing on the tracks of NASCAR and USAC and ARCA and other places, while they were doing those races, they were telling NASCAR, the official thing is, oh, we built these cars and we're selling to the public, you know, and Bill France knew that something was going on, but he didn't want to interfere too much. Bill France, the guy who ran NASCAR, because he wanted there to be better competition, and Chrysler had not been keeping up with Ford in the years previous to this as well. And so on the one hand, they're going, oh no, these cars are just simply just, you know, we just build them this way. That's how, you know. But meanwhile, at the SAE convention, when they're presenting the paper, they came right out and said, you know, we've tested this thing in the wind tunnel. Here are the results we get. And they go into all this technical jargon about aerodynamics. And it's fascinating because they're talking about like the pitch angles and the yaw and the fact that this thing on the back is not a spoiler. That's a wing. It's an inverted Clark Y airfoil. And I'll admit, I didn't know what that was before I read the paper, but I know now. And Gary Romberg wrote the paper and was one of the two guys up in front of a group of automotive engineers, Cobo Hall, back in the day, delivering the paper. And it was just, to me, fascinating because there's this big paper that lays out all this technical stuff. And obviously the cars aren't a secret, right? But the fact that they put all this research into it in wind tunnel testing and so on, you'd think they'd want to sit on some of that stuff. No, they published the paper and it's kind of like, look, here's the paper. Here's what we're doing. Knock yourself out. So right around this time, Chrysler took one of their engineering cars to Talladega, Buddy Baker behind the wheel, turned over a lap at 200.447 miles per hour. First closed course, 200 mile per hour lap in a stock bodied car that was ever sanctioned by NASCAR. The next year, Bobby Isaac took his car to the same course, did a 201, just because I think felt he had to beat that other number. And then another year later, took the car there to the Bonneville Salt Flats and set like 28 land speed records with it, just to prove how fast the car was. But again, Gary Romberg was one of the aerodynamics guys who came into Chrysler right around the time of this program and then stayed there for decades. And you can look at the cars before the arrival of the aero guys and then after the arrival of the aero guys, and you can see the difference. You can see the difference. And now to our eyes, the cars that aren't as aerodynamically designed don't look right. We actually kind of know now what looks right. And, you know, believe it or not, I can show you advertising that Chrysler did claiming that they were doing this for fuel economy. They go, oh, this car with a nose cone and the wing gets better fuel economy than a car without a nose cone and a wing. But that's because they were trying all kinds of different excuses just to see what people would buy in terms of what they'd accept as an excuse. But we now know that a car that actually is shaped more aerodynamically does get better fuel mileage. And so they've done that. And I'm sure that the wind tunnel that Chrysler bought at Gary Romberg's urging has paid off huge dividends for Chrysler and the other car companies that soon followed suit getting wind tunnels. So again, Gary Romberg recently passed away. I had the pleasure of meeting him, interviewing him, talking to him. Very, very nice guy. Very, very nice guy. His contribution to the automotive world, which I can speak to, are just huge. And his contributions in life appear to also have been quite huge. And I have to tell you that of all the things I read to you, the number I was stunned by, Gary and Bonnie married 62 years. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not 62 years old yet. So they were married before I was born, and Gary passed away yesterday. So there you go, Gary Romberg. Godspeed, my friend. Questions, comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. If at first you do not succeed, blame your computer.